important item is this week's prayer meeting will start at 8 p.m. at the district prayer meeting locations. Again, we have one online prayer meeting, one in person. I don't know whether we already know where will be the person prayer meeting this week.
Not yet.
Okay. Yeah, watch for the announcement. Before, maybe Monday or Tuesday, what we see. But that's, I just want to use this opportunity again, encourage all the saints. This prayer meeting is very important. We are entering into this this week. Morning revival, we need to fight. We need to build. Fight the spiritual warfare, most important, to pray. In the body, and with one with the Lord's heavenly administration of prayer. So, if you have ever joined, if you never joined, you need to consider try to join. And of course, if you have been joined, continue to join this prayer meeting. Next, so, 3 and 4 are all about critical service. We are not involved this week, so I'll skip. And next item, saints who register for the Chinese-speaking perfecting training, please get the training online from Brother David Wong after today's meeting. And the online is already ready. If you register for that perfecting training, you can get the online from And we also announced last week there will be a wedding testimony meeting on next Lord's Day, 3 p.m. in Piscataway. That's for Brother Zhuo Huan Li, Zhuo Huan, and Sister Zhong Huan Tong. They invite all the saints, as long as you available your time, come to rejoice with them.
Amen.
Give them our blessing in the body.
Amen.
That's all I have. Any other announcement? If not, we will have young people's prophesying meeting. You can go to the
So we transition to our prophesying meeting, which is week 9, the morning revival. What about we all read the title together?
Amen.
It's on page 192. Amen. And then
building
and fighting. The need to engage in spiritual warfare for the building of the church.
Amen.
And the first half of the morning revival actually is based on Nehemiah chapter 4. If you have the Bible, maybe we can read some verses in chapter 4 of Nehemiah. So maybe we can start off verse 6.
Chapter 4?
Yes. Chapter 4, verse 6.
Amen.
So we built the wall, and all the wall was joined together to have its height. For the people had a heart to work. Verse 8. And all of them conspired together to come and fight against Jerusalem and cause confusion in it. Verse 11. And our adversary said, they will not know, nor even see, until we come into their midst and slay them and cause the work to stop. 15. And when our enemies heard that their counsel was known to us, and that God frustrated, we all returned to the wall, each man to his work.
17.
Those who build the wall and those who carry burdens took the loads with one hand, doing the work, and with the other hand holding the weapon.
Verse 20.
In whatever place you hear the sound of the trumpet, gather yourselves to us there. Our God will fight for us.
Yeah, so in this chapter we can see there's a background at that time in Nehemiah that, you know, there's quite a few enemies surrounding the children of Israel and try to frustrate it, try to attack the rebuilding of the temple of the wall. And so Roman numeral 1, it says Nehemiah chapter 4 describes the frustration of the enemy regarding the rebuilding of the city. And why is the response of the people in Israel, or especially Nehemiah, is point 2 under point A. It says Nehemiah trusted in God by praying that God would return their reproach to themselves. Thus the Jews built the wall, for they had a heart to work. Amen. And the point 3 under point B continues, says that on the one hand the children of Israel were prepared to fight. On the other hand, they trusted in God, believing that He would fight for them. Amen. You know, we will mention more in Roman numeral 3, but here it's a picture that we often mention there's a fight, right? A spiritual warfare when we want to build the church. Mm-hmm. So on one hand, all the saints need to prepare to fight, to be prepared to engage in warfare. But on the other hand, Nehemiah is a great example. He trusted in God. So on one hand, we need to be prepared ourselves, but on the other hand, we need to trust in the Lord.
Amen.
The Lord already won the victory. I enjoyed the table meeting this morning.
Amen.
The Lord already won the victory. Amen. All we need to do is just maintain the victory.
Amen.
Join Him in His victory.
Amen.
So we come to Roman numeral 2. It says, building the church as a city of God is not an easy task. Building can be carried out only by fighting. Mm-hmm. So the picture in Nehemiah 4, right? The children of Israel, on one hand, they hold whatever tool they need to build out the wall, right? Maybe hammer or something. But the other hand, they hold the weapon. They're always ready to fight because the enemies surrounding them always want to find the opportunity to attack the building. So on one hand, they are building, but on the other hand, they are prepared to fight. And point B, it says that wherever we labor on God's building, we will certainly be involved in battle. But you know, sometimes this sounds terrifying, right? We are building the church, we enjoy the church life, we want to, you know, to cooperate with the Lord. But the message says that we need to be facing the battles, and sometimes will discourage us, will terrifying us. But you know, in Matthew 16:18, the Lord says, I also said to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it.
Right.
You know, the Lord didn't tell the apostle that, oh, in order to build out my church, the battle will be rough, right? You are facing a lot of attacks. Indeed, this is a situation we will be facing. But the Lord encouraged the apostle, even encouraged us, that the gates of Hades should not prevail against it, right? And why the gate of Hades cannot prevail against a building church? It's because the church is being built by the resurrection life of the Christ.
Amen.
So, you know, in Matthew also mentioned that when the Lord resurrected, ascended,
Amen.
He had the key of the Hades. Means that He already nullified the enemy. He already destroyed the enemy.
Yeah.
So He used this resurrection power to build up His church. So whenever we feel discouraged, we feel terrified, this is the verse we can always come back to pray through it. And the Lord really encouraged us that we don't need to be terrified. We don't need to be discouraged.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, we should be encouraged that the gate of Hades should not prevail,
Amen.
Against a building church.
Amen.
And here we come to Romans numeral 3. It says, for the building out of the church as a body of Christ, there is a need for spiritual warfare.
Amen.
And yes, there's a need, and we all need to be, our eyes need to be open to see that there is a need for us to engage
right.
in spiritual warfare.
Mm-hmm.
So point B, it says spiritual warfare is based on the victory of Christ.
Hey.
And the starting point of spiritual warfare is standing upon the victory of Christ, and it is seeing that Christ already defeated the enemy.
Hey.
Right? So the work of church today is not just starting the fight. Actually, it's maintaining Christ's victory.
Hey.
You know, Christ fight for victory, but church fight from victory.
Right.
So what we need to do is join his victory.
Hey.
We just
hey.
Maintain the victory. You know, sometimes this kind of so far to me, what does that mean, really join to his victory? You know, one time in a prayer meeting, we were just praying for a certain situation for a specific family. And you know, I actually didn't know the details of what happened to that family, but through the sense prayer, I can really believe that the Lord already taken care of everything. I just joining his victory, enjoy the prayer from all the saints, and just follow the burden, follow the prayers from the saints. And I think that's a, you know, just that's a experience to join the Lord in his victory.
Amen.
Amen. And let's see. And another aspect from the victory, it's maintain the victory is the position of our prayer. You know, sometimes it's easy for us to just pray on a lower position. Just like we just want to beg the Lord to finish something, want to ask the Lord to be involved in certain situations. But the message tells us that we need to pray in the ascension,
right.
we need to pray
Amen.
In the heavenlies. And actually, when the Lord resurrected, ascended, he brought us to heavenly, where it's higher than the air, where the evil power is. Right, so when we pray in the heavenlies, actually Satan and all the evil angels is below us.
Amen.
Right, that's a really amazing point I see in this week.
Right.
So when we are praying, we need to exercise to join the Lord
Amen.
To be in the third heavenlies.
Amen.
Amen. And another Amen. Verse I enjoy in Nehemiah is 4:20. It says, "In whatever place you hear the sounds of the trumpet, gather yourself to us there." I enjoy the gather this term because in point D, in day 4, it says spiritual warfare is a matter of body of Christ and we must fight the battle in the body.
Amen.
So whenever there's a trumpet sound, whenever the children of Israel hear a trumpet, they gather and then fight
right.
together. You know, the trumpet, the sound of the trumpet actually sound at least 1 week, one time a week, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it sound on Tuesday night. Where is the prayer meeting? You know, so last week, the past Tuesday, you know, we start off our prayer meeting by reading the report from NACT. And, you know, when brother and sister heard the report, we just gather in brother's house and then start to pray for all the students, for all the serving ones, for all the speaking brother in NACT. Because we all know when there's a training there, there'll be attacks from the enemy. Enemies attack the students, attack the serving one, even the speaking brothers.
Yeah.
So they need our prayers. So I appreciate whenever the saints hear the report, we just gather and we consecrate ourselves. We offer our prayer to join the Lord to find a battle together in the body.
Amen.
And lastly, you come to point F. It says we need to know and apply the principle of spiritual warfare. And actually, there's a four principles here. The first one is we cannot use fleshly weapons, human schemes, and natural methods.
Oh, Lord.
And second principle is we need to keep the position of ascension, right? Like we just mentioned, like we need to maintain the position in the third heavenly.
Amen.
That's how we fight the battle.
Amen.
And the third is we must use spiritual weapons.
Right.
And the fourth is we need to have fighting prayers, the prayers of spiritual warfare.
Amen.
So, there's a lot in these four principles of the spiritual,
right.
the weapons to use in
Amen.
The spiritual warfare. So I think I will stop here, and I believe the Lord will lead us in to fill all these portions in the message this week.
Amen.
So what about we start off like 3 minutes per person, and then we can start from there.
We also encourage the saints who maybe went to the college training to also share.
we're not limited to the morning revival. We know there are a few who are here, so please feel free to release your portion to us.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So David mentioned in the opening that he mentioned two words. One was the victory of Christ. The other one was in the heavenlies, in heaven. Anyway, our spiritual warfare, our battling, our being engaged in this battle is in the heavens. This is a position. So I have a couple minutes. How do we experience or enjoy or stay in the heavens? How do we stay in the heavenly position? Well, Ephesians 6, 10, 11, 12, 13, they have a few words. One is be empowered right in the Lord and in the might of His strength.
Amen.
So it's not our strength that lets us remain in heaven. So in the Bible, heaven signifies God. Earth signifies man. Heaven signifies God. So how do we remain in this position of ascension in Christ's victory? So here's a simple. Ephesians 6 also says, has the words withstand and stand, doing all that you may stand. Stand. So stand is like this. Stand is like this. Upright. Being defeated or being not engaged. So this is also, we can say it's engaged. We're engaged. We're standing. We're standing. We're in a proper position. This, being flat, is to be unengaged, disengaged. We're not, we're just oblivious. We're just ho-hum. You know, it's like we're playing a game. And there's, we don't even, anyway, we're, so it says stand. So now, in the morning revival, it has a word, buoyancy. Doesn't that sound like standing?
Amen.
There's a buoyancy in us. So here's an example, the simplest example I can think of. Calling on the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Satan hates
Amen.
The building.
Right.
He will do Sanballat twice, at least twice. It says Sanballat got angry when he heard the building was going on. He,
Amen.
Sanballat is a human person, but behind him there is spiritual force, spiritual powers of evil in the air. So our fighting is not against Sanballat, even though they took up spears and shields and so on. The fight the fighting was against Satan in the air. So, if we feel, so there's also a word, part of his attack is not, so he said, we're going to go, and they won't even know it, we're going to kill them. Right? We just read that verse. We're going to kill Nehemiah. We're going to kill those in Jerusalem doing the building work. We're going to kill them. But also in this chapter, there's a word, mock. The word mock even more times than kill. Satan attacks. Satan, the mocking is his attack. His attack is to kill us. He wants us to be dead. He wants us to be on the earth, in an earthly position.
Right.
So then, even if we pray something, our prayer is from the earth. It's not in the right position.
Amen.
So what should we, what's a simple antidote for a mocking token? Satan's attack, his mocking, is serious. It's deadly. So Nehemiah said, I rose up. I rose up. And I spoke to the nobles and the rulers and the rest of the people, do not be afraid.
Amen.
Do not be afraid.
Amen.
Remember the great and awesome God.
Amen.
Right? And fight for your brothers.
Amen.
So, the simplest, based on all this, the simplest, let me also point out, what's the issue of the building work? What is the issue?
Amen.
The issue is the man-child.
Amen.
So, in Ephesians 6, it's the warrior. In Revelation 12, it's the man-child.
Amen.
The man-child, so the woman brings forth the man-child, and the man-child is raptured to the throne. And then there's a war in heaven, and Satan is cast out of heaven.
Amen.
Isn't that a war?
Yes.
Satan's end is to be cast out of heaven.
Amen.
Then, at the end of the 1,000 years, he will be cast into the lake of fire.
Amen.
Does this sound like I'm mad at Tyler, and I tell him, Tyler, I'm angry with you. Does this sound like that kind of fighting? No. This kind of fighting is a serious, a terminating fighting. Terminating. Is Satan serious? Is Satan engaged in warfare? Absolutely. He's not playing games. He stirred up all the people around him, the army of Samaria. We're going to kill those people. We're going to kill them. And stop the work. Because the work, the building, issues in the it's Satan's destruction.
Amen.
The building issues in the building church.
Amen.
The warrior, the man-child, which will utterly will carry out Christ's judgment of Satan on the cross.
Amen.
So Christ terminating Satan on the cross is carried out by the builded church. So the builded church also are the overcomers. They've been fighting against Satan their entire lives. So at Armageddon, at the marriage feast of the Lamb, they're ready. They have their proper clothing to go to war with the Lord. So there's a wedding, but there's also Armageddon.
Right.
And there's the result of Armageddon is blood.
Amen.
Up to the necks of the horses. That's like up to here.
Yes.
Blood for hundreds of miles. Blood, just blood. Mm. So all in the Antichrist and the false prophet with Satan, they rise up not to fight against man, they rise up to fight against Satan.
Right.
Anyway, let me just end this way. I'm just want to impress us. So where this word this morning, Satan does not want us to touch.
Amen.
He does not want us to touch because he wants us to be, you know, unaware of his attack.
Amen.
He wants us unaware. It's not just a casual, you know, I get punched in the arm. No. I'm going to kill you. Anyway, let me just end this way.
Amen.
To impress us with it, the word engaged. We need to be engaged.
Amen.
In this spiritual warfare by building and fighting.
Amen.
In the heavens, in the right position, and to basically destroy Satan.
Amen.
And how do we do this?
Amen.
We just stand. We stand, doing all to stand. We stand. We're right. There's a rising up within us. So, let me just conclude this way. Revelation 17 and 18. What happens in Revelation 17 and 18? Babylon the Great is utterly destroyed.
Amen.
Utterly destroyed.
Amen.
What happens in Revelation 19? Revelation 19. There's a wedding, but there's also Armageddon.
Amen.
The Lord just slays all. There are millions, probably maybe more, there are 200 million horses.
Amen.
So that means that there are a lot of people gathered together to fight against the Lord.
Amen.
So what happens? He, with his overcomers, slays them. Then in Revelation 12, what happened? What's going on? Revelation 12, it says the woman brought forth a child. This child is the man child.
Amen.
And the great serpent, what is his intention?
Amen.
I'm going to devour this child.
Amen.
Of course he can. Anyway.
Amen.
It took me a while to be touched like this.
Amen.
This,
amen.
Let's try to keep it up like about 3 minutes, 2-3 minutes, so
yes,
everybody could share.
Amen. Brothers and sisters, amen. We are coming here, Lord, to share what we enjoyed this week.
Amen.
And the couple of weeks we know that the main point of the messages is to remind us that we need to build the church.
Amen.
And during the building of the church in this week, telling us when we build the church, there is a fighting that
right.
we need to
Amen.
Experience.
Right.
We cannot build the church, but we do not experience the fighting.
Mm-hmm.
What is building right. the church? It's not outward things.
Right.
It's to growth in life.
Amen.
When we are all growing in life, in our everyday life, we are building the church.
Amen.
By growing in life, we can meet and join together with the brothers and sisters.
Amen.
And to conduct spiritual warfare.
Amen.
The spiritual warfare is not individual, brothers and sisters, but it's bodily. So that is why we need to come to the church meeting.
Amen.
To come to the meeting to join in spiritual warfare.
Amen.
And the enemy... our enemy is not the outside flesh. It's not brothers and sisters. We come here, or might be some brothers and sisters. We cannot get along. That is our enemy. No. Oh, Lord Jesus. This one, on Friday, brothers and sisters. On Friday, it mentions I'm sorry, I need to read this one. It's 2 Corinthians 10, 3-5. What is the stronghold? What is our enemy? It's our reasoning. When we don't, when we come here, brothers and sisters, we don't want to share our what we enjoy. That is our reasoning. We need to fight that one. We need to share our enjoyment for encouragement, for the building.
Amen.
And also, this is also the rising, high rising knowledge. We think that we are know everything. Oh, we don't want to listen again. That is high rising knowledge. So we need to fight, and this fighting is the death. When we come here not to fight this one, we bring death in the body. And brothers mentioned there are four principles. We are not fighting against the flesh. We need the weapon to fight. In Ephesians, only one of the God's armor is a weapon to attack the enemy. That is the words of God.
Amen.
So we need to be like Israel, brothers and sisters. Not only a priest to God, but it's also a lawyer. That is, to become a lawyer, like our brothers, we need to know a lot of the words of God, and then we can spontaneously respond when there is an attack.
Right.
So, brothers and sisters, we need also to come to God often. To build the body of Christ.
Amen.
What? How to come to God, brothers and sisters, is by prayer. Prayer with the words of God, not with our reasonings.
Amen.
We come to the word and pray back to God.
Amen.
So our reasoning will be washed away, will be renewed. Like brothers and sisters, when we eat, I learned food science and chemistry. When we eat the physical things, but we get the energy after eating. Eating, and then we get the energy. Energy is abstract. We don't see it, but we can experience it. It's the same things when we eat the Word of God, we will get the life.
Amen.
So we need to come to the Word to build the body of Christ.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
I enjoy day two, and also in day four, remember our fight is not against human beings. It's against spiritual beings, against the evil spirits and the power in the heavens, right? Now, in day two, it mentions from the book of Nehemiah three aspects, right, that the enemy uses. Mm-hmm. One is mocking. I was telling my wife, why don't you try to share to some of the co-workers. You say, no, they don't care. They don't want to hear it. They laugh, you know, and they mock sometimes, you know. And that's one thing that the enemy does, you know. And then we get discouraged. It's like it says here, that causes us to despise sometimes the work of the Lord that is doing with us. And sometimes we get discouraged with the mocking too, right? And then the second aspect, the enemy attack is the most dangerous one. Is to set up plots. Like, you know, remember this, they invite Nehemiah to come and talk, right? This is what the world does with that, right? And the world is pulling us to share, but there's nothing wrong with this, you know? What you're watching on YouTube, there's nothing wrong with that, you know? What is showing on the TV or whatever, nothing wrong. This is the world. It's say, okay, let's make peace, you know? That's why there is a religious group that is called the Prostitute of Revelation. The whole who ride the beast in the Apocalypse, which is basically, you know, what religion is that, the organized religion. You know, because this religion group, organization, is actually accept everything. Okay, they gather together. All the religions in the world, let's gather together. Okay, we're going to have peace. So this is what the second aspect, right? If the Maya would accept and go and meet with this group, with these guys, the enemies, then he would have wasted time building the walls. He would have wasted time in building the city. So this is one thing we have to be careful. We could be trapped. We cannot fall into the trap. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking to myself, too. And sometimes we fall into this trap, right? So we need to pray, like the brother said, we need to pray.
Right.
Okay? And there's a lot of scheme, you know, a lot of things that the enemy uses, right? The third aspect is the enemy attack is supposed to there to be weakness among the children of Israel and cause them some to speak discouraging words. Yes, so this is one thing we have to be careful. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes we get weak and we start talking about others, and we start, you know, gossiping, we start, you know, like a brother said one day, you know, somebody came and said, when a brother came and said to the another brother, brother, we need to pray. Mm-hmm. We need to pray. Yeah, let me tell you about this. And the brother said, well, all he wanted to do is the gossip, really. The prayer is an excuse sometimes. So praise is used as a skill. We need to pray. See, we need to pray. Okay, so when the scheme says here also, brothers, when the scheme shows, we need to bring it to the Lord. When it's other things, jealousy, insidious things, let's bring everything to the Lord.
Right.
Because our fight is not against humans, it's against the heavenly, and the enemies in the heavenlies, the evil spirit. So we need to pray. We need to stand with the victory of the Lord. We need to build our wall so we can join together all the walls.
Amen.
So we won't let a wall like that join together, the enemy won't be able to attack us. Amen? So
Amen.
We need to pray.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Can you speak up a little bit?
Okay. Because you might see someone and think, oh, like this person isn't open, or oh, this person might not want to, you know, talk to us right now, they look busy. Or sometimes we may be scared to talk to others because we're afraid of what they might think of us. But the brother emphasized that we should not disqualify people with the gospel.
Right.
And in 1 Timothy 2:4, it says, who desires all men to be saved to come to the full knowledge of the truth.
Hey.
God desires all men to be saved, not just the ones that are the ones that we think are deserving of being saved, but all men.
Amen.
And in Matthew 5:44-45, it says, but I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may become sons of your Father who is in the heavens, because he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. The Lord wants us to go higher and deeper in our experience of God as love. And the more that we
It's not just like
understanding that God is love is why you really see the way that Jesus lived. And he wrote all these things to show us what kind of God he is. Like, why are you scared of me? Like, why are you afraid to come to me? You know, when he was living on this earth, he showed so much love. He like revived a widow's dead son without being asked, and like he said to an adulterous woman, like, I don't condemn you. And so I feel like it really showed me, like, why am I afraid to come to God? Like, if I read his word, then I can know who he is, and I can know that, like, God is love over myself rather than just hearing about it. So I think it really, like, opened my eyes a lot. And they also told us, like, that they showed us this example of, like, a rainbow and how we see it as just, like, an arc. But actually, a rainbow is a full circle, which I didn't really know. So when they showed it to us, I was like, wow, like, our view is limited, but when we are joined with Christ, like, in the heavens, we see the full truth.
Amen.
And they showed us, like, God is love.
Amen.
I wanted to share, but not on the college stream.
I just wanted to share the message. I just wanted to continue on the college training that we were in last week. It was really enjoyable, and it was like 7 days of schedule. The schedule is pretty tight. I did feel like I'm a college student once more by spending so much time with them. And actually, I was mistaken by another sister who said that I look like 21, look like a junior. I'm really glad. they didn't thought I was a third. Okay, so I wanted to share a little bit of what I enjoyed. I really enjoy the line of holding to truth. In 2 Thessalonians 2:10, it says, receive the love of the truth. And in Ephesians 4:15, it talks about holding to truth and love.
Amen.
In those verses, we see that truth and love, it actually goes together. And as the brother has what we're mentioning in the meeting, those are like two of the very important things in the final age. We need to love God, love our fellow believers, love all men. We also need to be constituted with the truth. It is just so important. And in Genesis, we see how Satan lied to people. It is by putting a question mark in them and really sort of tweaking God's word and putting a doubt in us. For example, in Genesis 3, he asked man, did God really say you shall not eat of any tree of the garden? God did not say that. God only said that you cannot eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So that was like a tricky question, right? And he also said that you shall not surely die. It's like, those are the scheme from Satan. But right. If we don't know the truth, if we don't know the Bible enough, we can easily be manipulated by those thoughts that is prevailing in the current age. In 2 Corinthians 10:5, it says we need to overthrow reasonings and every high thing rising up against the knowledge of God. I think a lot of the things in the current age, they sound reasonable, and there are good reasonings behind them. But really, there is only one truth. It's the person, Jesus. And all the truths are written in the Bible. It's like a pillar. And the pillar doesn't move. We move, right? So when I'm just really burdened that I myself need to get into the Word even more.
Amen.
I think you shared about the rainbow. I think that was a really good one, too. From God, when we go into like a higher perspective, or like get outside of our own perspective, we see that rainbow is not just half a circle. It's actually a whole circular. And the same thing, right? Like, we should see from God's perspective of all the things today. And to end, I think I am touched that we have a little power. We have God's word, and we have not denied his name.
Amen.
I'm encouraged that we need to, amen, just going on together with the companions.
Amen.
Let's read our Bible.
Amen.
I just wanted to share the message. I was touched by the fact, you know, reading in the life study of Ephesians chapter 63, which our brother Ron made mention, is that our whole Christian life is a life of warfare. And just like the children of Israel, after they left Egypt and they had the Passover, they immediately went into the desert and they began the war. The war began. And so our life is a life of warfare. But our weapons, right, we've seen, are not fleshly. It says, although we walk in flesh, we do not, our weapons are not fleshly, but they are powerful before God for the overthrowing of strongholds, right? And we take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And we see that our whole life is a life of warfare, but our warfare is not with, you know, swords and spades, you know, like we see in the movies. It's our obedience. And actually, the life of the Lord was the life of warfare. And so we see that the Israelites, you know, they proceeded and they had to fight when they got into the good land. And our life today is that kind of a life. And so one aspect is that, you know, we see the bride and we see that our Lord loves us, and that is all true. Amen. And we need all of this, right? It's just like when we get married, we have a honeymoon and everything is beautiful and wonderful and rosy, and then afterwards, you know, it begins and the trials begin. And so so we go on, we grow in the Lord and we grow with one another. So, but we see that the Lord wants to build the church.
Right.
And this message is on fighting and building, and they go together, that you can't set them apart. But one aspect is, in the book, The Experience of Life, there are some stages. And in order to fight the spiritual warfare, we need to know the body. And if we don't know the body, we cannot fight, because as has been said before, it is a corporate matter. It is a body matter. But then our brother very humorously said, well, guess what? What comes before, this is stage 4, knowing the body. But what comes before 4 is 3. And what is stage 3? Well, knowing the cross. So without knowing the cross and being dealt with by the Lord, we cannot know the body. And outside of the body and being in the reality of body every day, we can't fight, you know, any spiritual warfare. Our brother gave an example here of Acts chapter 12, where Herod set out to destroy and kill, and he actually killed James, the brother of Jesus, and he put Peter into prison. But prayers were being, you know, were being done by, you know, by the saints. And then, you know, the angel came and, you know, went to Peter, and the chains fell off, and he went, you know, we know the story. But then Herod, he set himself over, you know, like a god, and men were saying, oh, the voice of a god and not of man. And right then and there, an angel came, and Herod just dropped dead right there. It says he expired, because the Lord, you know, honors the prayers of warfare. It is the Lord who fights for us. We know that in Nehemiah, he said, our God will fight for us. Amen. They had to hear the sound of the trumpet wherever they were.
Amen.
And then wherever you hear that sound, you better get over there, and then God will fight for us. But they had to hear the trumpet. They had to go to that place, and then the Lord himself would fight. And this is, you know, our life in the Lord is a life of fighting. You know, even the whole situation, it says here that the world situation will get worse. But that we need to realize that there are powers of darkness that are assigned to every country, especially to this country. These powers of darkness are assigned. And the Lord will take care of them. But it is our obedience. It is our obedience in the Lord that is one of the greatest weapons, our prayer and obeying the Lord.
Amen.
So I also went to the NACT. And one point that I enjoyed was the matter of preaching the gospel. And when we pick and choose who to preach the gospel to, we're actually disqualifying people. And I think many times in my experience, I'll like see people, and in my heart I'll be like, oh, like they don't look like they'll believe in God, so like I won't say anything to them. Or they don't look similar enough to me, so I don't think they would want to like talk to me or like hear the gospel from me. But actually, when we think like this, we're disqualifying people from knowing God. And the brother, he mentioned that we need to be like a wall. So that means not any kind of that can just enter in, but we also need gates, and these gates need to be in all four directions. So, yeah, God desires all men to be saved.
Amen.
And I also appreciated that in the matter of God desiring all men to be saved, the brother mentioned that in Genesis, when the serpent was tempting Adam and Eve, he told them that they could become like God. And this was desirous to them. And I think a lot of the times I hear about God and I hear about who he is, and in myself, I'm like, oh, I want to be like that. But actually, you can't be God if you don't have God. You can't be like God if you don't have God.
Right.
We can't love all men if we don't have his divine love.
Amen.
The way to love all men is to have his, is to let him, take him in, and that's the way.
Amen. Amen.
I enjoyed this college training, and the title was Love Prevails. And in those two words, it indicates that there's a fighting going on. Because for something to prevail, it means that there's opposition to overcome. And so in this college training, we see that the fighting, the battle is between the truth and the lie. And the truth is actually Christ, who is the reality in John 14:6. And the lie is the father of lies, the Satan. He's the devil, the father of lies. And so there is a strong emphasis on the truth and how we need to be constituted with the truth, so that the church may be a pillar of, and base of the truth. And in my experience as a serving one in this college training this week, I had an experience of a student opening up to me, questioning the word of God. And actually, the brothers, they kind of, encouraged that, because there's this verse in Acts 17:11 talking about the Bereans, who were more noble than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. So it was encouraging to me to see a student examining the scriptures to see whether these things were so. And then when she was asking me these questions, I realized I need to examine the scriptures to also see if it is so, because I don't have the answers to what she is asking. And so I feel like just even seeing the students and even serving the students, I realized that I need to be constituted with the truth. So that the battle today is between the truth and the lie.
Right.
And for there to be the building up of the church, we need Ephesians 4:15. We need to hold to truth and love.
Amen.
And just as the sister shared, we need to receive the love of the truth.
Amen.
So may our burden and our desire be to love the truth and to enter and enjoy and be constituted with the truth.
Amen.
I did not go to the college training, but I stayed with my sister. I'm so happy to see Phoebe today.
So
I think that actually this is an example that we are fighting together, right? Because I think that in the message, it talks about fighting and building. We usually would not put these two words together.
Amen.
You know, every day, well, before the pandemic, I think every day I walk to the train station, there is a house. It is supposed to be built. But, you know, the foundation is there. But, you know, every time I pass by, it's still not, built. So I think that, you know, I would ask myself, like we are talking about building so often, but why is God's building still not, you know, still incomplete. So I think that there are some barriers, right? In day five and day six, I was very touched by the four principles that we want to follow. So the first one is that it's not fresh, it's not fleshly. I think that so often, especially, you know, like, if we get educated, so often that we will use our own way, you know, like, I certainly know the way how to deal with my students or my colleagues, but I usually, you know, use my own way. But then when we talk about spiritual warfare, very often we would tell the Lord, we say that, you know, I'm here, I'm just to enjoy the Lord, and I don't want to get involved, you know, just don't include me. Don't include me in the service. Don't include me in everything. I really want to enjoy the Lord only. But unfortunately, I think that the spiritual principle is not like this. Because we, just like Brother shared, we all need to grow, right? So then we really need to know the spiritual principle. And the second one, I think, that is very important. It says that we need to keep the position of ascension. And I think that... Right. I often feel that, you know, my prayer is so low. Although we should not say that, you know, a prayer is low, because a prayer is a prayer. However, you know, I think that very often that we pray for our children, we pray for our marriage, we pray for our job, we pray for our everything, marriage, whatever. I think that we kind of like, we are like a beggar. And we are not, you know, sitting with the Lord. We are not standing with the Lord. We don't have the view of the ascension. So often, you know, we just want the Lord to be with us, but we are not with the Lord. So I really think that, you know, this is a reminder to us and also an encouragement to us. We really need to get involved. We really need to participate.
Amen. Amen.
As mentioned, brothers and sisters, when I listen to Brother James, the Brother Lee encouraged us to pray in 6 months. Still remember, brothers and sisters, Ephesians 3, 16 to 21. Amen. It's mentioned that he would grant us, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit into our inner man.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus. Yes. Amen. That Christ may make his home in our heart through faith. Amen. That Amen. You being rooted and grounded in love. Amen. 18. May be full of strength to prehend with all the sins what the breadth and length and height and depth are. And to know the knowledge of surpassing love of Christ, that you may be filled unto the fullness of God. But to him who is able to do super abundantly above all that we ask and think, according to the power which operates in us. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus unto all generation forever and ever. After I listened to that message, brothers, I did not do every day. But this reminds me, when I come in the morning, Lord, strengthen my inner man.
Amen.
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 When we read the New Testament, we saw the mention of this spiritual warfare. But when we got into the Old Testament, particularly we got into this portion in Nehemiah, we saw some of the details concerning this warfare. And so one of the things that we saw, which was brought out in the message in Nehemiah chapter 4, was mentioned before, is that Sanballat and his company became enraged, angry, hateful, desiring to kill the people of God. At what point? it was at the point that real building began to be executed amongst God's people. And once the building began, their anger was stirred up and they desired to kill God's people. This is full of light because it showed us that in the New Testament age, in reality,
right,
God's enemy, Satan, hates the building of the church.
Right.
We consider the historical account. God's people already returned from Babylon, even to the city of Jerusalem. And we don't see the anger and the hatred from God's enemies to that degree until the building began. So that means in the New Testament age, even we may come to the church life, we may be in the church life, and God's enemy is not too concerned. But as soon as we begin to touch building, God's enemy rises up.
Amen.
And there is a great conflict surrounding this.
Amen.
So, there's one point in the outline, it's very heavy, impressed me very much. It said, regrettably, in the church today, very few believers know anything of spiritual warfare. How can the ministry speak this kind of word? We all heard the term, we all knew there is such a thing called spiritual warfare. We are fighting God's enemy. But in the ministry speaking, they have the boldness to say, most of the believers, we do not know anything of spiritual warfare. So when I read this point, I just feel, wow. It says, because we're lacking in the maturity in life.
Amen.
Lacking the spiritual strength.
Amen.
And even insufficient in the clarity concerning the light of the truth. So this message is very heavy because it's a warning to us speaking that there is such a thing called spiritual warfare, maybe not according to our understanding. So that's just like Saints mentioned previously. Why can this be said? Because this warfare is not fleshly, is not outward. It requires our spiritual insight to engage in. So that's why Paul can say in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, though we walk according to the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh.
Amen.
For our weapons are powerful before God. It means that this conflict is totally engaged in a spiritual realm.
Amen.
And to engage in this conflict, we need to enter into that realm by being one with the Lord in His ascension and executing the fighting prayers.
Amen.
That block up all those things.
Amen.
That cause damage to the building.
Amen.
Which is all together in this realm of spirit. So may the Lord really have mercy on us to bring us into the seeing of this spiritual realm.
Amen.
So we saw that we need to execute the fighting prayers in Christ's ascension to cover the building of the church.
Amen.
Amen.
The Lord. I also went to the college training, and I just wanted to overflow as well. I'm not in the best state of mind, but praise the Lord that the Lord's love compels us to share and to speak what we've enjoyed. So I think coming to a lot of, you know, being in the church life, there's even an expectation almost that at college or young people's meetings, right, like the last message would be very like fiery, full of burden. But actually, the last evening message was just about the church in Philadelphia. Actually, I saw the title, and I think Brother Ray, I don't even know his name, but started speaking in a very calm and just a deliberate manner, and I was just like, huh, what's going on here? But actually, I was so impressed, like Barbara was sharing, that actually it opened up, that there is no, that love and truth are so intrinsically tied, and we really see this in the church in Philadelphia. That not only did they keep the Lord's word, and did they know it, but that they had a brotherly love towards one another. And I think as Helen brought out, we see, and actually as so many other saints have shared, as Cassandra brought out also, that we need to have a genuine love for all men. that this is God's divine love in us, and that we cannot express this love or an imitation of it or facsimile, but that this has to be a life in us. And I was just so impressed by this, because the brother was sharing that he grew up in Queens, and all he wrote about was the loneliness he experienced as a child, not having the church life. And says, I was just so impressed that this church life that we have has reality. There is a love within this church life.
Amen.
But there has to be a knowledge and appreciation of the truth.
Amen.
And these things both go hand in hand.
Amen.
And I was just so touched, because the church in Philadelphia is a church that does both. It does it all.
Amen.
Right? Because they kept their first love to the Lord. And without this first love to the Lord, how can we hold fast to the truth?
Amen.
How can we hold fast to oneness? And just in the last message in the morning, just a quick small thing, I was just so impressed. You know, since we all read the Bible, I've read the Bible, and I don't know why I'm saying it like this, but, you know, you read the Bible so many times, and you don't really, you see something new every time. What I was impressed by was the fact that Brother Ricky brought out, 2 Timothy was essentially written right before Paul's execution. And when I heard that, I was so impressed, because these were the last things Paul was saying to this one that he loved. Right? To hold fast to the truth, to be bold, to run the race, right? These are all things, these are the last things, the most important things on his heart. After a lifetime of ministry, after a lifetime of doing all of his work, this is the last thing he wanted to leave his brother Timothy with. And so, just realizing that, I was just so impressed and so encouraged to read the book of 2 Timothy again. Because this was a book written in love. These epistles were love letters written out of love by Paul to the churches and to the saints. And I guess what I'm saying in a very roundabout way is I will never read those epistles again the same way. That this is Paul pouring himself out on the churches because he loved them. And the same way we would love one another. And we would have love even towards the other localities and the other saints. That we would have a heart for blending and a heart for mankind.
Amen. Praise the Lord, saints. I really appreciate all the sharing from the college training, excuse me.
Amen.
And I feel like the Lord is really moving.
Amen.
You know, love prevails, right? You know, as we see that in this week, as we come to this spiritual warfare, yeah, there's one very important principle, right? The first principle, actually, is to realize that our spiritual warfare is not in the physical realm.
Amen.
There's a spiritual warfare going on, as our brother Tyler shared, behind the scene. So that means things might happen, you know, in our Christian life, in our church life, even in our family life, in our work life. But whatever is happening, a seemingly attacks, right, from the enemy, our focus cannot be on the person.
Amen.
We need to see that the enemy is behind whatever is happening. And but to do that, it is actually very subtle. Because as we see in Nehemiah 4, there's this verse, I'll just read it to you, that the attacks of the enemy is very subtle.
Right?
Amen. It says in 4:11, and our adversaries said, they will not know, nor even see, until we come into their midst. Amen. So they were conspiring, right? They were very angry at the building. They were trying to plan something against the building work. But as they specifically said, we will do in the way they will not know, nor even see, until we come into their midst and slay them and cause their work to stop. You know, when I was reading that portion, I think it really convicted me. How much do I see the spiritual warfare?
Right.
According to Roman number 3, right? Yes, we heard about spiritual warfare. You know, we might even know the verses, right? We can quote Ephesians 6, you know. But in our daily lives, when it comes down to our daily lives,
amen,
when we wake up in the, from the time we wake up, from the time we go to bed, things happening around us, both in the physical life and in the church life even, how much do we really see what the enemy is doing? So we need the eyes to see. We need revelations to see. We need the Lord to have mercy that the enemy can be exposed.
Yes.
Why is that? Because clearly this week it says that for God's building, there needs to be a fighting.
Amen.
That means if there's no fighting, if we don't see the fighting that's going on, or we are very elementary, we're very primitive in our seeing of this warfare, we cannot build in the sufficient and adequate way. Or in other words, the building is frustrated. Because we're limited. Yeah, and Lord Jesus.
Amen.
And the reason is also because, right, the Lord needs our cooperation to fight.
Amen.
If we don't see the warfare that's going on, we just think, we rely on reasoning, we just live our Christian life, you know, church life, and just want to be happy. We cannot really be involved in the building.
Amen.
Not only we need to see the warfare, not only we need to see this, we need the Lord shining, we also need to see how to fight this warfare.
Right.
Amen.
That's why the college training was so enlightening to me.
Amen.
Sometimes when we see something, right? I'm young, I consider myself young. You know? I would like to react. There's a fight going on. We need to slay the enemy. You know, make it to every meeting. In the brother's house. Hey, let's all wake up at 6. Is that the way to fight? You know, that's our natural response, right? But this week, not only we have the mercy to see there's warfare going on, the ministry helps us. There are principles from the Word. There are so many points, but I think I'll just quote Ephesians 6. The first verse in Ephesians 6, in verse 10, right, it says, be empowered.
Amen.
Be empowered in the Lord.
Amen.
Before you do anything, right? Before you fight. Oh, saints, be empowered in the Lord.
Amen.
In previous chapters, in Ephesians 1, right, there are verses that lays out what is this power.
Yeah.
There are four powers. I will briefly, we don't have time, but I think to fight warfare, to be empowered in the Lord, we need to see what this power is.
Amen.
There is the power that raised Jesus from the dead.
Amen.
Meaning, death cannot hold him.
Amen.
He died, but he resurrected. The end of life, right? The end of everything. Death cannot hold the Lord.
Amen.
In our experience, a lot of things can hold us, right? We were driving, someone cut off, that held us down. So many things. Death cannot hold him.
Amen.
I'm speaking to myself, right? That means, it doesn't mean that you will not die. Sometimes we experience death. But death cannot hold us. The minute you die, resurrection.
Amen.
You die again, resurrection.
Amen.
Anyways, yes, he defeated the enemy. He shoots up from death. Nothing can hold him.
Amen.
That's the raising up power, right? I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought. What's the second one? Lord Jesus. Okay. The other one is actually the seating power.
Amen.
Yeah.
That means he's above all. He overcame death. He's now in the third heaven, in ascension. He's sitting.
Amen.
From death, now he's sitting in the third heaven. That's his position.
Amen.
He is not on the ground. The Lord, right? We are many times, we are on the ground. We are not even in the air, right? We're just on the ground. We're probably underneath the ground. Enemy attacks us. But the power in us is the sitting up power.
Amen.
Our position is in the third heavens. I'm speaking this in faith, right?
Amen.
Saints, where are you today? We are in the third heavens.
Amen.
We are sitting with the Lord.
Amen.
At the right hand of God. And in verse 21, right? In verse, actually 22. And he subjected, as he is sitting in heaven, he subjected all things under his feet.
Amen.
Saints, we have this power in us, the subjecting power. As the church, we can subject the enemy and all that he's doing. Amen. Praise the Lord. I have to be limited. Praise the Lord. And there's a heading up.
So
because he's the head over all things. In the church, we need to be headed up in all our services. In the family lives, in our, I'm not married, but you know, in the family lives, we need to be headed up. But it is so difficult. But there is a heading up power in us.
Amen.
Be empowered in the Lord.
Amen.
In the might of his strength.
Amen.
And then you put on the whole armor of God.
Amen.
That's in 11 and then onward. And then 13 it says, it's so unique. Paul said, he reminds us again, your warfare is not, right, against flesh.
Amen.
It is against the spiritual forces behind everything. Just emphasizing this point to us. Our fight today, saints, as after we see we need to fight.
Amen.
We need to fight in our fighting prayers.
Amen.
To bind the evil powers.
Amen.
We're not here to judge anyone. We're not here to do many things in our way. But our fighting is in our prayers.
Amen.
Our brother mentioned, especially at the least, on Tuesday nights. Isn't it a fight on Tuesday? Like, I don't know why. Tuesday, the minute you wake up in the morning, like, you know, something just starts to come in. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Because the spiritual forces behind everything is trying to frustrate us.
Right.
Not just us, but frustrate God's building.
Amen.
Those who frustrate those who have a heart for God's building.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
We are fighting against the spiritual forces.
Amen.
And then again, put on the whole armor of God.
Amen.
So these few verses in Ephesians 6, they are so precious to us.
Amen.
As the body, we can put on the whole armor.
Amen.
That's how we maintain his victory.
Amen.
In those two verses of the putting on, it's always so that you may stand. You stand.
Yes.
By putting on the armor.
Amen.
We stand in the Lord's victory.
Amen.
We stay in the position of ascension. By exercising this power that's in us.
Amen.
By putting on his armor.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, saints.
Amen.
May the Lord gain his building.
Amen.
Lord, expose your enemy.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. How about let's end with some short prayers. Amen.
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 Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for your speaking.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, thank you, Lord, that you have exposed the enemy.
Amen.
Amen.
All his strategy.
Amen.
Oh, thank you, Lord, that you are showing us the warfare, spiritual warfare.
Amen.
Oh, you have won the victory.
Amen.
You have defeated the enemy.
Amen.
You sustain and maintain this victory.
Amen. Amen.
You have bound the enemy also.
Amen.
Oh, don't let us lose this enemy.
Amen.
Oh, empower us, Lord.
Amen.
So the mighty of your strength.
Amen.
Oh, we love you, Lord Jesus.
Love
you,
Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Lord
Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your speaking.
Amen.
You have really exposed the enemy strategy.
Amen.
Lord, cause your church to rise up.
Amen.
Stand on your victory.
Amen.
Lord, to unceasingly pray.
Amen.
Pray the prayer of fighting, Lord.
Amen.
Lord Jesus.
Amen.
You build up your church, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. The gates of Hades shall not prevail.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Bring us into the body.
Amen.
Make us one with the body in the fighting.
Amen.
Oh, strengthen us with your power, with your might.
Amen.
Against all our enemy.
Amen.
Oh, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
In the ascension. Amen. And your position in the throne.
Amen.
How to fight against our enemy.
Amen.
Put them under our feet.
Amen.
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 Expose him.
Amen.
Oh, you will gain the building.
Amen.
All that you will do.
Amen.
Oh, gain this in us.
Amen.
Gain the building work.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
The church can be built.
Amen.
Enemy will not usurp us.
Amen.
Oh, bind him, Lord.
Amen.
Shame him.
Friday? Yes.